I'm sitting here with four young adults, and we're having a conversation on young adult ministry. I'm Jessica Bordalo, a young adult ministry consultant.
And I'm Jason Rust. I'm a pastor at a historic congregation in downtown St. Louis who does a mission plant called Vintage 10.
And I'm Pastor Matt Hainer. I also serve in the St. Louis area at different churches, and I teach at Concordia University, Wisconsin, their satellite in St. Louis, and also do some adjunct teaching at the seminary.
I'm Ann Meyer. I'm the Director of Children and Youth at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran here in St. Louis, and I'm doing a DCE work, but I'm not a DCE.
And I'm Ryan Peterson. I'm a pastor at a church in West St. Louis County.
This is four out of six members of the LCMS Young Adult Ministry Advisory Committee. We're a committee that has been working on the website and doing some other things, trying to enable young adults to share their faith with their peers and enable the rest of the church to understand that culture to better reach young adults.
I think by virtue of you being the other person on the end listening to this, by virtue of you listening to this, you have some kind of what Bill Hybels, pastor in Chicago, called the holy discontent. You know, like you have this passion, some desire, some burning thing inside of you that makes you want to see more young adults in your ministry, in your church, as part of your community. And I would say that, you know, as you listen to that holy discontent and feel that in yourself, you need to be willing to do something about it. And again, listening to this podcast, I think, is step one. In fact, I know someone who was a 20-something, and he and his wife had this holy discontent for young adults in their church. So after a few months of praying through it, they kind of mustered up the courage, went and talked to the senior pastor, and basically said, "Hey, we want to tone down the boomerism in this church."
What do you mean by boomerism?
Boomerism, I'm talking about the prevalent attitude from baby boomers that has infiltrated that local congregation. And, you know, I think most of us can probably describe or think what that might mean. But they said, either we need to do something about it, or we're going to miss a whole generation of people coming up. And to their credit and to this local church's credit, they started to do something about it right away. And the senior pastor actually began to take the lead because he saw a whole generation that was gone if they didn't do something.
What was the something that they did?
They started by, you know, just doing a very simple monthly gathering for young adults and for 20-somethings. And I know that's a pretty loose term, what that means, but they let it be loose so that it would include a lot of people in that newer generation.
And when we're talking about young adults, we're referring to people in their 20s and 30s, which is across a lot of different lifespans, life stages, like college age, young professional, young moms. We're not just pigeonholing one of those, but it includes all of them. So when we say young adults, we mean people in their 20s and 30s.
Right. I don't know. I always think of it more as a culture than it is a demographic.
Yeah. It's a mindset.
Yeah, it's a philosophy, it's an outlook, it's probably the people that are most heavily influenced by postmodern thought. And just a quick note here, everybody's influenced by the postmodern kind of mentality. I mean, we're all there, so don't think you're exempt from it. But probably those of us in our 20s or 30s are probably most impacted by that, because that's the world view that we've grown up in for the majority of our lives.
So a young adult could be outside of that age group, because we're talking about a demographic, worldview, a culture more than an age group, but generally we would consider them 20s and 30s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would think so.
Mm-hmm. In a church body that averages around 65 in terms of age, I think young adult is someone that could be their son or daughter or grandson or daughter. And I think that's the way young adults are perceived in our church today. You can be in your mid to late 30s and still be too young to do things around the church because the average age is so much higher.
Or at least perceive that you're too young to do
it. Exactly.
You're right. And I think the perception is the main issue, because these young adults are actually leading in a lot of different ways in their 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday. You know, they're leading outside of the church. Why wouldn't we give them the opportunity to lead what we all believe is the most important thing on the planet. Fulfilling God's mission.
My favorite example always is if, you know, the armed services allow men and women to come out of college and lead other men and women in life and death battle, why can't we let them participate in boards and committees in our church? You know, if they're making life and death decisions at 22, 23 years of age, why do we have a perception that young adults can't participate fully in the kingdom of God? But actually, Brian, I think is the bigger question is, you know, do they want to?
Right.
You know, do they want to? And I don't know, maybe that's a struggle everyone's listening right now is having. I don't know, that's kind of the thing that I'm encountering now with the ministry that I'm working at is there's lots of people and the door's open, but there's not a whole lot of desire. So I don't know, maybe that's the next
part. I think they want to participate and they want to be valued, but they have to be asked in a lot of ways. Like, I think the way that the culture is set up now, are they going to say, hey, I want to be on the board of directors? Well, the culture is, and most churches are set up so that they're not, you know, it's not a kosher thing to be on the board of directors unless you're of a certain age and a certain stature. So if those members can then seek out, this young adult has this gift, let's use it in our church and ask them. It's that, you know, I don't know that they're always going to, at least in our church, come out and say, I want to do this. I want to be in this position of leadership without being first asked and sought out. But
so if there are young adults in your congregation, a first step would be to invite them to be a part of the leadership on the church council, on the board of elders, on decision-making positions. But what about if you feel like there's no young adults at my church? A lot of people have said that to me. It's like, oh, we wish there would be young adults. There's none. There's absolutely none at our church. What would your response be to that?
Well, you know them. I mean, people have, I don't know. You know young adults.
Because you have grandkids, you have nieces, nephews, and they live in your community.
So you would need to know the people in your community then.
Right, right.
Surveys have shown that 82% of unchurched people say that they would go to church if asked. In addition, surveys have shown that less than 2% of people who go to church ask someone to go to church with them. So it's not that these young adults just won't come, it's no one's inviting them. I think that's the major problem. And I think part of the problem is the fear that I can't ask a young adult to come to my church. And I think that brings up a whole other list of questions of, why do you fear inviting a young adult to your church? If you don't like something about your church and you're afraid to bring someone to it, that's a problem. I mean, if you like the Cardinals, you invite a friend to the Cardinal game, there's no problem, you know. But why don't you bring someone to Jesus Christ? Something's a problem there.
I was going to say, this might be a good time to address a common misconception, I don't know, that I think is one of the issues is that exactly that. I don't want to invite young adults to my church because, you know, A, the preaching isn't standard, kind of like what we were talking, up to standards like we were talking about. We think preaching needs to be at a certain level in order for young adults to enjoy it. Or B, we don't have a contemporary worship service and therefore young adults won't go to a service that's not contemporary. And this is my opinion on those two things. One, yes, preaching that's substandard and isn't well thought out is going to be a deterrent for anybody. But to that I would say, you know, take a stance. You know, I don't think young adults want to hear about churches that are ambiguous. I don't think young adults want to hear about churches that just kind of anything goes. You know, we want to be challenged. You know, agree or disagree, take a stance. Be proud of what you believe. Have a reason why you believe it, and sit there and talk honestly about that. Don't try to say anything just to get the young adults in the door. You know,
right.
Don't just try to be everything just to get the young adults. It's okay to be who you are, to believe what you believe. But the important thing is that you let them believe what they want to believe. And hear from them. Listen to that. Again, going back to that listening thing. And the other one, the misconception about worship is, you know, whatever it is, make it good.
Right. That's a great point. You know, and culture is picking up on that, because it was just a few weeks ago that the Wall Street Journal ran a major article on this very topic about churches kind of just bending to try to attract young adults, and how young adults will see right through that.
Yeah.
You know, they want a church, and they want to know what the church stands for. They want to know what the church believes. Now, I don't think that's an excuse, though, for a Lutheran church to say, well, here's a way that we've done it, and take it or leave it, you know, and not be willing to adjust or adapt to a changing culture.
Because we're not talking about doctrine here. Doctrine comes from Scripture, and that doesn't change.
Right.
You're talking about how we would present that.
Correct.
And I think it's important, too, in the meantime, don't wait until your church has the perfect environment and the perfect culture to ask somebody, because just because maybe the preaching is subpar doesn't mean that the act of asking somebody is going to bring them in and build a relationship with that person. And also, I think, Jessica, you said, what if your church doesn't have young adults? And I think even in a church that has one or two young adults, then find that person. Instead of worrying about how are we going to bring all these people in, look at the people that you have, build a relationship with them, and they will bring other people in as well. But don't just undervalue the ones you have just because they're only a small number of people. Even the ones that are the most faithful and coming and the most active, don't take that for granted.
I think we need to follow your idea about building relationships with people.
Working on changing the attitudes of people in the church. Are they welcoming? Are they friendly? When you bring somebody new, are you the only one that talks to them and explains things? Or does somebody recognize this is a new person, comes up to them, you know, gives you the opportunity to introduce them? So the environment of the actual people at the church, changing how people receive new people.
So the openness of a congregation would be very important.
Openness and friendliness, I think, is really important. Authenticity. Yeah.
I think it's important to just bring these things to the people and to the leadership of your congregation and to your pastor. Draw their attention to these things. We can get set in our ways and just assume that everything is clear. Like, we can assume that our liturgy is clear to everyone when it is so foreign to people. I had a friend in Phoenix, a young adult who was an atheist before he became a Christian at the Lutheran Church, and he told me the first time he came to church, his biggest question was, what is that big white bird hanging on the wall? Mm. Well, you know, for people who go to church all the time, we know that, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, what is that big white bird doing hanging on the wall? And sometimes we take for granted all the things that we do, our rituals, our symbols. And it is so foreign to young adults who grew up watching TV on Sunday morning because their parents never took them to church. Mm-hmm. And I think the older generation can't relate to that or doesn't relate to that because the older generation had to go to church. When I speak to older Christians, it's always, well, my parents made me go to church and I resented that, so I'm going to let the kids do whatever they want. That's the conversations I've had with older adults in the church.
So we have a generation of young adults who were never churched in the first place.
Exactly. Right. So when they come in the door, don't assume they know anything at all. And if we as congregations, as pastors, start preaching and teaching and worshiping that way, I think that would go a long way to helping the young adults take that big step, which is going into a church on Sunday morning.
Right, right. You know, in our local church, we've found great success taking our thinking through that lens in our preaching and in the way that we design worship. You know, thinking that, okay, when we say open up your Bibles, we need to give specific page numbers. We need to say it's about 3/4 of the way through. It's kind of like this, or give a general overview of the scriptures before digging really deep into a topic. Because again, we can't assume that they are biblically literate in any way, which is cool. What a great open door opportunity for the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know?
What could an average layperson do to reach young adults? And before, when you were talking about how to bring young adults into the church, you said to build a relationship with them. I thought maybe we could talk more about that.
Yeah, I mean, just simple things. I think Jason brought it up originally, but just talking to them, seeking them out, inviting them over for dinner. I mean, things that you would do with people maybe your age or in your generation or with your kids or your grandkids, things that you would do with them. just giving them kind of some time to listening to them.
So you're saying to actually approach young adults that are at your church that you don't know and
yeah,
ask them
exactly.
to come over for dinner.
Yeah, and it's easy to spot a young adult a lot of times because you can usually spot who's younger, right? So not just the new ones either, although that's important, but the new ones, the ones that have been there forever, that continue to go, even maybe that their parents don't go anymore, or and then just looking for those young adults and, you know, even 5 minutes on a Sunday talking to them so that they don't have to come in, worship, and leave without having any contact from somebody. I think that's huge.
I've shared that with people in workshops, and always the baby boomers are surprised that young adults would want that. They're like, they don't want to talk to me. Why would, you know, when I was their age, anyone older than 30 was not to be trusted. You know, and I think young adults today are in a different cultural mindset about older generations. The ones that I've met are looking for mentors. They want older adults to invest in relationships with them. And they don't have the same age bias that the baby boomers did at that age that they are then projecting onto young adults today.
Right. I agree too. Yeah, I totally agree. Definitely the workplace.
And maybe that's where we can pick up next time, talking about where to start sharing your faith with young adults, how to build relationships with them, real practical, hands-on suggestions of how just to build those relationships. So I'd like to thank each of you for being part of this conversation. I think maybe we'll go around and say our name and where we're from. And thank you for listening. There'll be more podcasts to come. I'm Jessica Bordelot, Young Adult Ministry Consultant here in St. Louis.
And I'm Jason Rust, pastor at Downtown Historic Church and a mission plant.
I'm Ann Meyer, Director of Children and Youth at Chapel of the Cross here in St. Louis.
And I'm Ryan Peterson, pastor at St. John in West St. Louis County. And if you lasted this long on the podcast, way to go.
Pastor Matthew Hayner was with us at the beginning of the podcast, and he had to leave, but he was also here. Thanks a lot.